Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome to Black on Black Crime. This is your host, Jerome. You know, I want to thank everyone who tuned in to our last show and those people who are on now. We are just waiting for our host, Vanessa, to chime in. But if you don't know, Black on Black Crime is a show about, let's just get it right so you know, it's a show about when Black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other Black people in areas they won't consider about white folks or anyone else. Now, today's topic, of course, if you've seen the banners, Harry Belafonte versus Beyonce and Jay-Z. Now, this is our point counterpoint program, so it's time to bring in our co-host, Finesse. Hey, what's going on, Finesse?
What's going on, SB? How you doing today? What's up, audience? How y'all doing?
All right. Now, you know, I was a little slow on the, you know, the network has been having some problems over the last week. And so chat wasn't up, but chat is up now. So if you're in the chat room or if you want to call in, our number is area code 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. So I just wanted to make sure I throw that in. What's going on, Finesse?
Man, it's a lot going on. You know, it's a lot happening in the world today, news-wise. You know, you of course, I got my whole LFP media thing going on, doing some good things for the community. Got some great new talk shows coming on the air or already on the air. Got a shout-out to Kevin T. Robinson, Yvonne Mingle, my man T. Brown, and, of course, the one and only Coach Dean. Look for all these shows doing some good things coming up in the near future.
Oh, yeah. You know, I can't wait for the sports show to come back, Coach Dean, because, you know, there's been a lot going on with the, I guess, since the last time he's been on the air, you know, with the Olympics and all that stuff going on. So that'd be cool to get back into sports talk, a.k.a. Sports Rap. We'll bring you all that stuff back.
Well, you know, I just finished talking to him, and he's schooling me about the legacy of LFP Media, just like you do. But that's a whole topic for another show. He's gonna be listening to the show today too. What's up, Coach Dean?
Yeah, you know, and I definitely have to catch up to Coach Dean because haven't been able to catch him in a minute. So we know we're gonna have to bring him in a second. Matter of fact, he just hit the board, so you know we're gonna bring him in. But you know, in just a second, because we're gonna take a break, and we're gonna come back. But you know, today's show is about, you know, singer, actor, activist Harry Belafonte blasting Jay-Z and Beyonce about their social responsibility. But before we go to that, you know, we're going to talk about a couple of other things on Black Crime today. Finesse, what are the other two topics that we have for the show?
Well, the other two topics we have on the show, we're going to discuss our so-called Black leaders being upset because President Obama stated that he's not just a Black president. We're going to get into that. And we're going to talk about the creators of the Basketball Wives, and that would be Shaquille O'Neal's ex-wife, Shawnee, and then the sister. And Rome, you have her name, that produces the Love & Hip Hop show.
Oh God! It just left me. If you guys hit us up in chat, if you remember the name of the creators of Love and Hip Hop, because I keep thinking Latifah, but she does Single Ladies and all the other shows. She does some good shows, so I'm not gonna. I didn't want to throw Latifah out there for that, but I can't remember her name. It just kind of.
Well, I don't think Latifah does Love and Hip Hop.
Huh?
I don't think Latifah's responsible for the love.
No,
and
no,
hip-hop.
No. That's what I said. Oh. She doesn't do Love and Hip Hop. She does Single Ladies. I kept thinking
yes.
VH1. She does Single Ladies and Let's Stay Together, the BET
right.
thing. So she does
which
a positive
good,
show.
Good
so
shows.
I'm bad for bringing her up in the middle of this conversation.
Yeah, not talking about Latifah. What's up, Latifah?
We're not talking about Latifah, no. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. Who are we starting off with today before we go into our main topic? Who are we going to start off with today? It is the...
we're going to talk about the president.
You want to start off with the voice and president stuff?
Yeah, we got to get it in.
All right, so we got to take a quick break. You're listening to Black on Black Crime on Ask Athletes Network or Esprit Radio. You can check out My Soul Radio. Hey, we're going to simulcast all over the place. So we're going to take a quick one-minute break. We're going to come back, and we're going to jump right into it. Finesse is going to let us know what's going on in the area of black presidential hate on our Black on Black Crime segment. So thanks for joining us, and we'll be back in 1 minute.
Hands can do incredible things. This is the sound of 326 hands playing Mozart. This is the sound of 10,942 hands showing appreciation. 64 hands building a house for the homeless. 142 hands swimming a triathlon. 18 hands winning the big game. And this is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called Hands Only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's incredibly easy and effective. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
All right, so welcome back to Black on Black Crime. You know, we're sitting here with Finesse, and Finesse, tell us what our first topic is.
Well, our first topic is our so-called black leaders and black folks in media demonizing President Obama because of a statement he made where he says he is not just the black president. Or,
okay,
let me break it down. He's not just a president for the black folks. Now, it's amazing
right.
to me that black media and our so-called people, and I'm sorry, I got to name your name, Dr. Boyce, love you. You represent Syracuse University, but you've been saying some whackness lately. That's whackness. And then, of course, my man Tavis Smiley, Dr. Cornel West, leading the charge. And I believe, Jesse Jackson, Keep Hope Alive, he also had a cut.
Yeah, him too.
Now, I have a problem with this for the simple reason. Says the President of the United States, black folks are not the only ones in the United States. If this was Africa, it'd be a whole other story. But even then, there's white folks in Africa too. So, still yet, after all these years, 3.5 years, these people don't get it. President Obama just can't come out and just be talking about agendas for black folks, because then you'll have women upset, you'll have farmers upset, you have gay and lesbians upset, you have all these other groups upset. So he has to balance it out and represent everybody. And I don't understand how anybody in the media, like Dr. Boyce, is a professor at Syracuse University, how come he's not in, Dr. Cornel West, since you guys have these titles in front of your name, how are you misrepresenting this information to the masses and you go out and you say ridiculous stuff the way you do? Tavis Smiley, definitely not feeling it, because it makes no sense for you to voice and say these kind of things that are untruth when your job is, and we've talked about this last week on the show, but black media has a responsibility for telling the truth. Now, President Obama's doing something wrong, that doesn't mean you can't call him out. But when you spit things that are lies, and then you turn around and you call Bill Clinton the first black president, not only is that an insult, but that's also a lie. So I have a problem with it. And Mr. Esprit, if you could kindly educate the folks on what Mr. President Obama has done for not only black folks, but for the rest of the country.
Okay, now I can do, if you want to, for those people who are on BTR, you can go on Ask Kathleen, just, you know, search Ask Kathleen, go on her network. I did a whole show, 2 hours, on Ask Kathleen on the presidential accomplishments. I did not even have enough time with 2 hours of all accomplishments for President Obama. First of all, he was the most successful legislative president since Lyndon Johnson, and that is saying a lot that he's gotten that much done. And if we're just talking about for the country, we're talking about federal spending has grown in its lowest pace in 60 years under the president, 1.4%. You know, so Reagan was 8, and Bush, the first Bush, was 5, and the other Bush was 7, and Clinton, it was 3. But under President Obama, it grew 1%. And, you know, when we want to talk about the annual, growing government, just astounding numbers from the president. One other thing that he did is in government employment from the time that he took office, his first year, it went up literally 13 people. that is job growth on the federal government side. Now, we need more government jobs and stuff, but it has not gone up under the president, contrary to what people want you to believe. Now, to get to our black-on-black crime segment of people saying that the president hasn't done enough for black people, I always say, if you are not paying attention to what the president has done, you have no right to speak about what he hasn't done because you're misinforming, you know, the listeners. You know, it's our responsibility in media to tell you the truth, if that's what your job is, just like ours as media people. So I'll tell you this. Here's a couple of things. If you just to bridge this digital divide that everybody talks about, do you know that if you get a free lunch at school, if your kid has a lunch ticket, you can call any cable company in the country and get broadband service for $9.99. Now, they don't advertise it, but that was a policy that was put in place that if you qualify, just one child in your house, you don't need to prove anything else. If you qualify under federal guidelines for lunch in school, you get $9.99 broadband service from any cable company in the country. Now, beyond that, there's also for poorer communities in 2010, at the end of 2010, they passed what's called the Healthy Kids Act. So the Healthy Kids Act actually serves breakfast, lunch, and sometimes dinner in poor communities. Now, the president allocated $1 billion to feed people in poor communities. Now, in 2009, just in case you're concerned about the deficit, he passed an executive order that said he will not sign anything to law that wasn't paid for. So he found the money to pay for it. It didn't go against the deficit, and it's not borrowed money, but $1 billion is allocated towards feeding people in poor communities. Now, here's a big question. The reason that you don't see it right now is because that money is allocated out of Congress. So when you start criticizing the president, figure out where your criticism is coming from. Congress has not passed one appropriations bill this year, which is unheard of. It was less than a do-nothing Congress of 1945. So when you start complaining that the president's not doing anything, he does it on his side. Congress's job is to allocate the funding that they set up, and they are not doing it. That's why their approval rating is 10%. So there you have it. If you want to know why the president is not affecting more domestic policy, look at getting a Congress that's more friendly to the president.
And two, there was something I remember. I don't know if you remember or you have it right in front of you. You talked about what the president did for HBCUs because there was a time right in the beginning of his presidency, he probably wasn't in office no more than 3 or 4 months, where the HBCUs saying he wasn't doing enough and they needed money. And I remember you on your show, one of the things you said that, you know, in defense of the president, you said the HBCUs are also, they need to raise money instead of sitting around waiting for the president. But what was it that he did for HBCUs?
Okay, now he created an executive order for historically black colleges and universities that promoted, you know, innovation and sustainability at all historical black colleges and universities. So the initiative worked with the executive departments and agencies and offices and the private sector, educational associations and philanthropy organizations. Now, what it did was this. It was created to foster private sector initiative and public sector initiatives with HBCUs, improve the availability and dissemination of information to those organizations, and to share administrative and programmatic practices with HBCUs. And it was also meant to explore new ways of improving relationships between the federal government and HBCUs. Now, more importantly to the whole thing is this one number after, you know, all of that was put together, is that Morgan State HBCU received a landmark $28.8 million portion of a five-year grant from NASA, which allowed the school in East Baltimore to conduct research in supporting NASA. It's their largest grant in their 144-year history. Now, that's what you were referring to, the Morgan State grant?
Yeah. You know, the facts that you just gave and what he's done for HBCUs, and I think it's important because that kind of news doesn't get reported in mainstream media. And this is why it's important, again, based on the conversation we had about black media, and that includes bloggers, that includes internet radio show hosts on whatever network they're on, why it's your responsibility to get facts before you open your trap or agree with something and you don't know the facts. And reading Dr. Boyce's blog, one of the things that he states is he feels that, he said there's nothing wrong in supporting President Obama, but we have to hold him accountable. No one's saying not hold him accountable, but you can't say things like, you know, the least that'll happen is President Obama be elected for another 4 years, and then we'll still have issues in our community. Well, the issues were in the community before President Obama got into office. You can go all the way back to Ronald Reagan when nobody questioned Ronald Reagan. Where were these black voices during Ronald Reagan's era when he was pushing the crack on the street along with President Bush? Where were they when Bill Clinton made sacrifices to welfare, to student loans, went on backdoor deals that didn't take effect until probably 4 or 8 years later during Bush number two? Where are these same black voices when the housing started collapsing in the black communities during Bush II era? So when President Obama got all this stuff, this was years, 20-some years of problems and issues that he's trying to fix during his administration. And you can't do it in 3 years.
And don't forget the cuts that Clinton made in the black community as far as not just like lunch programs and education, but that welfare, the work stuff, and cutting the requirements and raising all of that stuff. That stuff was all under Clinton, and I know he had a Republican Congress, but he willingly cut funding to poor areas, like not just like Head Start and all those things, but he really drastically reduced a lot of funding that went in poor areas. But people like Bill Clinton, and they're scared to say that.
And this is why it's very important that, you know, education doesn't stop once you graduate college or high school. You continue education. So if you don't understand how government it works, and we all learn that in high school, then figure it out and teach yourself now, because it doesn't work like that. There are so many initiatives that President Obama has pushed through that his own Democratic Party, and of course we already know the Republicans, that they refuse to pass through. So people need to know the facts. And I can't stand it when black media, and I hold black media responsible, because if black media pushes it to the forefront, and again, this includes, you know, folks that are on internet radio, because you have a responsibility. Bloggers have a responsibility. It's your responsibility to report the truth. And if you're not going to do it, then why should you expect white media to do it?
Right. And before we go too far, track. I want to let you know you're listening to Black on Black Crime. And for those who are just joining us, I want to say hey to everyone in the chat room and the folks that are on, online or on our line here. We want to welcome you to Black on Black Crime. Now, this program is a program about not what you think when you say Black on Black Crime, generally. This program is about when people, you know, it's a concept that when people overtly criticize and analyze and, you know, critique black people in areas, well, they won't criticize or critique anyone else. So it is now a Black on Black Crime. If you unfairly, you know, criticize, focus, analyze, and look at people in areas where you won't criticize anyone else. So that's what you're listening to, Black on Black Crime with Jerome and Finesse. You can call in. Our number is area code 909-265-9189 if you want to join in the conversation. If you have any questions in the chat, add them in there, so and we'll try to get to you. So one of the other things I want to also say as we talk about the unfair criticism of the president. Oh, by the way, and our topic today is Harry Belafonte and Jay-Z and Beyonce, so we're going to get to that in a little bit. But one of the things I want to say is the president in 2009 put an executive order to establish a White House Office of Urban Affairs. So he specifically, and it's the first time it's ever been done, that people in minority communities can actually contact the White House about issues in their community if they wanted to. I don't think they people know that. It's been since 2009.
Well, I mean, and this is why I say it's important for people to know the facts. And this is why any change that you want to affect happens in your community. It doesn't start with the president, because the president can only do so much. You know, he's just putting
right.
ideas and showing facts on why it should be. The Congress, the Senate, they all vote on it.
That's
your community,
right.
you can make a difference by having those people that are supposed to be in place to make sure that your community is what it is. And just the simple stuff, you know, even where you live, like people that live in housing, it's your responsibility to make sure your housing's not like that. Stop being scared of whoever's in your area is causing problems. Talk to the police and get issues resolved so that your neighborhood look like the neighborhood you want to go buy that house in when you have that money to go do it, or you spend that money chasing a dream buying a lottery ticket. So start with
right.
your area and clean it first, and then it builds itself up, because you can get media coverage that way. But a lot of people don't do that. They're looking for easy way out, and they're looking for handouts, and that's wrong. They're looking for one man to make a difference. And like Michelle Obama said, my husband's not a superhero.
Well, you know, I usually quote to a president quote on my other show where he said, well, I think she said this as well. The quote comes from Joe Biden is where it comes from. But it says, don't compare me to the Almighty or something. I can't think of how it goes, but wait a minute, let me think. It says, compare me to the Almighty, compare me to the alternative. And so if you just look at our options in this country, the president has always stood with people, you know, instead of saying corporations are people. Like, that's nonsense. And so when we start having discussions about things like Medicare and Medicaid, for example, I'll tell you really quickly what that fight is about. The Republicans want to get rid of Medicaid. Get rid of Medicare. They're going to cut Medicaid like crazy, which is people who are in senior centers. But they want to get rid of Medicare, but they don't want to do it for 10 years so that people who are 56 and up, they're guaranteed their Medicare, and they won't vote against them. But after them, it's gone. They're going to create a voucher, give you about $5,000 until you go find insurance. So if you get, want to go in for checkups and stuff, it'll take away from your $5,000, and then you have to pay the rest. So technically, Medicare will be gone, and they want to create a new program and call that Medicaid. Now, that's what the fight is over.
Wow.
So when someone starts lying to you and saying, Republicans are saying they're not going to cut it, they're not going to cut it for 10 years is what they said. But they're cutting it. I mean, they'll still say that. No, we're not cutting it right away. The Democrats are lying. This is a kind of smoke and mirrors. So if you're not doing good analysis, why are you going on telling people that the president is not doing what he said he was going to do? So I thought I'd share that fact, too, as well. But you were saying, Finesse, just specifically, it is the people who are commentating about the president who are having this issue.
Right. I mean,
friend and foe issue.
They commentate, and then what they do is they pass it down to those that listen. And then those that listen say, hey, it must be true because Tavis said it, or Dr. Cornel West said it, or because Dr. Boyce said it. No, telling people from those in the media, it's your responsibility to get it right. For those who listen, you need to question everything that is said. And that includes myself, that includes Rome Esprit, includes whoever you listen to. Well, go get the information for yourself so that you can see who's telling the truth and who's not.
Now, you know, I actually want to add in there, you know, Cornel West, who's been, I think that they're only criticizing the president because he won't talk to them. So there are some people who want to be the speaker of black people. But we talked about this before off the air about how it was when we went to the Million Man March, everybody, you know, the Tavis Smileys of the world were saying, you know, there's only about 5,000 people in the Nation of Islam. Ain't nobody going to shout. And then once they get, according to DC Transit, in the three stops of the mall, sold 1.2 million tickets in those three stops, and all government offices were closed. So we know there was over a million people there. But once it was done, people like Cornel West and those guys come out and say, well, what are we going to do now? We have the power to control our own destiny. They want to now be leaders after they put in the work. And so we watch this happen over and over again. I'm not bashing those brothers for doing that. I'm just saying that when it comes to getting information, sometimes you have to get the information first before you start throwing stuff out. Of course, there's always something to criticize. You can always say that, you know, Andrew Sullivan did this article for Newsweek. Out of 508 specific promises that the president made in 2008, he's done all but two of them, which is unheard of. So if he did 506 of them, are you going to criticize him for not doing 600?
Well, you know how we are in the black community. We always looking for something. Why he ain't do that? Out of all the good stuff you do, why he ain't do that? And see, and this is what, again, you know, I've been in media my whole life. You know that, Esprit. And I stepped away from mainstream media because just the politics of it, just the lies, just the misinformation that's out there, and people don't understand it's not about the news, it's about advertising. So advertisers control what you see and what you hear. They control the content, and that's the truth. Even when it comes to articles, there are newspapers that will take a paid article and put it in the paper, and you guys will swear that it's a true story.
Right.
And I'm not telling you what I don't know. I'm telling you from being in it. And now you have this new thing, is this new phenomenon where news is 147 characters or less. So
right.
Anything that puts out on Twitter, or you go to people don't want to write articles anymore. They want to write blogs, 200 words or less. And they don't even state any fact. It's just opinion. So now we've gone to opinion. And anytime you have opinion, and you have people who don't want to continue to educate themselves. There are grown adults who said, I don't need to learn no more. I learned all I can. So when they don't want to learn anymore, anytime somebody throws something out there, they run with it. So that's,
you know,
that's the area we live in, and it's our responsibility, again, as media, to stop black media. We have to be more responsible. I'm talking about the 13%. I'm talking about black media. We need to control and better educate our communities than what we're doing.
You know, and on that note, since we brought politics in the middle of that as well, don't watch those polls on TV, because those are paid pollsters, some of them. So you get the legitimate ones, the Gallups and USA Today. They try to be as neutral as I guess they can. But you want to check out the older pollsters. But when you start checking out the new guys, they're Republican-based pollsters, and it's like, in those polls, Mitt Romney is always winning by a little. But you'll watch his rally, and he has like 12 people there. Like, so it's really funny for me as a strategist to watch this stuff, because I know that they're trying to give you an impression. So even with pollsters, those guys aren't neutral. And so don't watch TV and polls. Vote for who you're going to vote for. Those polls really mean squat.
And let me give you an insight on that. It's the same thing in TV. You know, they have these, you know, radio has Arbitron, TV is Nielsen ratings. You know, Rome just talked about all these different pollsters. The point of the pollsters and Nielsen and Arbitron is to give you numbers you can use. So let's say your favorite radio station is always talk about their number one. But what they don't tell you is we're only number one with ages 13 to 17, but they are an adult contemporary radio station. So that's what you have to look at. You have to say, okay, well, what are you number one? And people don't see that. They say, oh, well, they say they're number one. They must be correct because everybody's football team is sports team. They're number one. And you can be 0-16 and they'll still be number one to you. So it's the same thing. Numbers can be manipulated to give you what you think people want to hear.
Okay. Well, you know, on that note, we're gonna take a break. But, you know, it is not the news that you want to hear. It's things that you need to know. And so we always back away from that to let you know that there is different ways of looking at life. And, you know, people are trying to manipulate you. So we're not doing that today. We're going to take a quick break. We are going to come back with more Black-on-Black crime. You know, you can call in. You can join us. Area code 909-265-9189. You can check us out on iTunes. Download us. Tell a friend to tell a friend. And you can hit us up in chat. I want to say what's up to the guests in the chat. And Mellowness, that's also in the chat, adding comments. And we'll get back and we'll add some comments if you want to join in on the show through the chat room. But we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with our topic of the day, and that's Black-on-Black crime with Harry Belafonte, Jay-Z, and Beyonce. Well, so, Vanessa, we'll be right back.
My collection is made of all the things that make me. You can tell my block got bigger, but I always remember where I started. And it feels great to move forward without leaving yourself behind. From uptown to downtown, it's all part of my style. I'm right where I'm supposed to be, thanks to where I've been. My style tells my story.
Introducing the Jennifer Lopez Collection, only at Kohl's.
There are so many fun things we all can do to be healthier, no matter who you are or where you are. So let's move.
Well, here we go. We're getting set to get underway.
Let's stretch in the grass.
Great play.
Let's play tag.
What a play.
Let's jump up and down.
Oh, what a way to finish it.
And most of all, let's eat better so that we have the energy we need to play an hour a day every day.
Everyone can play. Just go to letsmove.gov to learn more.
I know what you're going through.
I've been there.
Nobody else I know has been there.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Things at home may be as you left them.
But you don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
And connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Applebee's 2 for 20 is back and fresher than ever.
So, Dave, you and the wife at separate tables now?
Honey, it's my 2 for 20 club night.
I think it's my 2 for 20 club night.
So grab your 2 for 20 club and savor inspired new favorites like tender chicken fettuccine carbonara and garden fresh bruschetta chicken. Or go for a classic like our 7-ounce house sirloin. That's one appetizer, two entrees, just $20.
Mom, Dad?
It's the freshest 2 for 20 yet, only at Applebee's. Now serving half-priced appetizers late night.
All right, welcome back to Black on Black Prime. Your host, Jerome, with Vanessa. What's up, Vanessa? Oh, I think I lost him, Vanessa. You there?
No, I'm here.
Okay. So this is the portion of the show. We're gonna go into our main topic. And just in case you didn't know, we're talking about the Harry Belafonte and Jay-Z, Beyonce. I don't want to call it no beef, but Actor, singer, and activist Harry Belafonte blasted Beyonce and Jay-Z in a new interview in which he accused them of turning their back on social responsibility. Now, Belafonte said the celebrity pair haven't done enough for minorities in Hollywood. Now, Belafonte, who also said that he thinks Bruce Springsteen does more than Beyonce and Jay-Z has ever done. Now, asked if he was happy with the image of members of minorities in Hollywood today, and Belafonte replied, not at all. They have not, you know what, before I finish this story, I'm going to help Jay-Z out on this one. I'm going to stop the music, and we are going to do something a little different, because just because they're talking about Jay-Z, I think I need to, you know, kind of change up our music on this. What you think, Vanessa?
I think so.
Okay, because, you know, we got to do give a little respect to where respect is due. Leave them alone. So here we go. All right, this might work a little bit better, okay? So in the story, they're just saying, Belafonte is saying, they have not told the history of our people, nothing of who we are, what we're still looking. It says, we are still looking, is what he said. He said, I think one of the greatest abuses in modern times is that we should have such high-profile artists and powerful celebrities. He said, but they have turned their back on such a responsibility, and that goes for Jay-Z and Beyonce, for example. Give me Bruce Springsteen, and now we're talking. I really think he's black. So you can let go, Finesse. This is you.
Woo! You know,
that's why I had to change the music.
Yeah, you gotta turn the music off now. I'll run
it back for a minute, because I know you're about to go on and on this, but so go, let it go.
Listen, I've been getting texts because we're talking on this subject. So let me start off with this. I'm not knocking Jay-Z and Beyonce. They made their money, that's there. I'm all for that. All for that. But at the same time, we have a problem in the community. One of the things is we don't respect our elders and listen to them when they give us pertinent information. What Mr. Belafonte said, it was cleverly crafted, because he could have named anybody. He named Jay-Z and Beyonce because they are up there in the spotlight. But this follows protocol for everybody down the list, whether it's Will and Jada, Michael Jordan, the Jackson family, or you go all the way down. He's saying from the top down, basically, all you folks that have money, you got to give back to the community. And he's not even talking money-wise. He's talking about just spending time in the community. I learned at a young age, respect your elders. And when they tell you something, you should listen. Now, I didn't hear anything from Jay-Z's camp. But Beyonce's right. Can't answer. And for Beyonce's camp to answer, I think that's very disrespectful. Even if people don't
for
agree.
For her to answer?
For her to answer. For her to answer back to Mr. Belafonte, for me, that's a time where I need to shut up and listen. Listen to this man, because he's saying something. Harry Belafonte is one of the most respected. He's done a lot in the community. You can't just follow somebody and say, I want to be like them and gain riches and only look at the one side. You got to also look at what they did for their community and others as well. So you have to look at the total picture. I can't say I want to be like Bill Cosby. Yo, he made TV, he did movies, and then not look at his whole body of work. What did he do for the community? That's why they're up there, and that's why they open themselves up. They are our role models and examples. We only follow half the role. We want to go out and get some clothes. We want to go out and go get the riches, but we don't want to do the other stuff that's needed. We can't put it on. And then we turn around and we want to put it on President Obama.
Okay. Now, here's what I want to go. Just like you, I respect Harry Belafonte, and I believe the same thing. I remember when the whole C. Dolores Tucker stuff happened with Ice Cube and all of those guys going at her by her saying that, you know, she didn't believe that rap was objectifying women. And, you know, Mr. Farrakhan literally stepped in and said, y'all leave her alone. She's an elder. She put in her time, and she cares about y'all. That is her motherly thing to tell you when to straighten out. So you can't go at her, right? Respectfully.
Right.
So I respectfully believe that about Harry Belafonte. He put his time in. He pioneered in a lot of things, and he put his time in for activism and activist causes. But I want to say this, that his point, I think, that he's making is saying that they're not high-profiled enough about what they do. Now, so in Beyonce's camp, they sent an email to Wall Street Journal. They said sent an abbreviated list of work that she's done, including her Survival Foundation, which is in Houston, downtown Houston, that she co-founded, her Gulf Coast relief stuff after Hurricane Ike and all these other things, Hope for Haiti, and her generous donation. She put that out there because what happens is that mainstream media will put this up like they're fighting, which they're not fighting. He is bringing things to light, and from him using Jay-Z and Beyonce, obviously we're talking about this. So what we recognize as black media and as minorities generally, we realize this as black people, that this is technically not a fight. It is technically saying we need you to be more visible. But where I disagree with Mr. Belafonte is Bruce Springsteen is black. Now, you know I don't like that.
Yeah. Now, Mr. Belafonte, respect you.
He's wrong for that.
How I would talk to my grandfather as well. You know, granddad, really? You want to call Bruce Springsteen black, but he's white? That's how I respectfully would say it to Mr. Belafonte. Is that, you know,
I wouldn't say
you wrong, but I'm going to say it in a very respectful way. And here's the thing. We show all the flash, all the other stuff, the negative side. We have to, you know, show the positive side. You know, and my thing is, instead of responding to Mr. Belafonte, call him up and say, why don't we do some joint things together so you can see what I do. You know, you come out with a list, but, work together.
You know what's difficult? If you look at them as artists, you know, Beyonce having a baby and Jay doing the New York, the Brooklyn Nets thing, and those guys are running, you're doing philanthropy on the fly, right? So you're not lending your face to it. You're just kind of doing it and donating kind of as you go. So the problem is that is it more of an issue that they have to lend their face to it? It's kind of like talking about the president at the same time, where 2 years he you know, has probably over 300 legislative accomplishments, a little bit more than that I remember, right? And everyone says, we haven't seen him in the community. And that's silly, because now you can look at an accomplishment of the president by saying, do you know that if you write a check and you're 5 cents over on your check, the bank is not allowed more to charge you more than 5 cents on your overdraft. That is complete reform of the banking system and credit card stuff on how they were ripping people off. He was doing work. So do you do work or do you act like you're doing work? Do we like more presence or power? And that has to be a part of the conversation as well.
Well, see, here it is right here. Neither the Beastie Boys. Beastie Boys had all the money, did whatever, but these guys went out and spoke about an issue that was a concern to them. We have mad issues that are in the black community. Jay-Z comes from Marcy, and I know Jay-Z has done something for Marcy. I love Jay-Z as a businessman. I love how he has shown that you can't always be hood. There's a time and a place for that. I talk about Jay-Z all the time as that model, that blend to grow up. I talk about that because I love that. But on the flip side of this, there has, you know, you're responsible for a cause, and that's everybody in the community. Even when you're poor, you still can go feed the homeless. And I challenge everybody in neighborhoods. I get on black churches and all these so-called religious folks, how come you're not doing more in your own community? You know, you need to be. But when you have this platform and you have this voice, it's a time for education. And you need to bring something to the table. If you can bring Cristal to the table, if you can talk about your liquor and make it where people run out and go buy it, then you certainly could talk about a cause to get people to open their minds. And that's where the disconnect is, and that is what Mr. Belafonte is talking about. You have to stand for something. You don't stand for nothing.
Right. I understand that. But when, okay, again, I'm going to go back because I agree with everything you're saying as far as he's concerned and working in the community. But the media wasn't the same, you know, in the 60s and 70s when they were putting in community work to even identify what they were doing. They had to fight for media attention where Jay-Z and Beyonce are followed 24/7. You know, paparazzi followed 24/7. And what he's saying is they need to drop what they're doing to do more visible philanthropy. That is a question for them, but I think that's an individual choice. I never like to tell people what they should do with their money, just because if they're helping their family, they're helping out the community. So from the things that I've seen with Jay-Z and Beyonce, you know, the YouTube clips of Beyonce dancing in Jay-Z's mother's neighborhood when they were doing the wobble or something in the middle of the street. Like, when you see those things, you're like, wait a minute. Sometimes they go and just sit on the porch. Sometimes they just go, you know. And so I won't ever say that they have not done those things just because I haven't seen them. And I think that's where the problem comes in with me. But when you say Bruce Springsteen is black and you criticize the blackness based on culture, that's problematic for me. And I think just throwing stones like that is not necessarily good.
Yeah, well, I eliminate that, Mr. Belafonte. Yes, you are wrong in that. But respectfully, but with everything else, I agree with, and I challenge all artists, and I challenge people who are coming up before they even get in the limelight to get behind the cause now. And as you know, people say, well, I'm blowing up. Then make whatever cause you're with, blow up with you. Draw attention to it. We don't draw attention to things. We should be talking about education. We should talk about the conditions of our neighborhoods. You know, we should talk about homelessness. We should talk about the rapes and incest stuff that happens in our communities that never get talked about. These are real issues. And, again, if we can pick up other people's products, we can also educate. All I'm asking for is a family. And need to show this. So, and that, when you're talking about, that helps out, too, because when other artists are coming up and seeing that, or people in the community, they will want to be a part of something. I remember when I sat down and talked to KRS-One, and he was telling me he didn't realize how much of an effect. He thought a lot of his lyrics were being lost, basically, because, you know, they were party records, but they had a message. But when he said he started getting letters from white fans who were saying, I did not know about this in black history until I listened to You Must Learn.
Right.
You can make a difference. You just got to balance it out. That's all I'm saying, and I think that's what Mr. Belafonte is saying as well.
Right, and I agree. I think, like I said, I think that what he's saying, there's a bigger picture to be said, but out of the whole interview, just to pick this up, you know, it's easy for the media to put us against each other. It likes black people not to like each other, so we're not creating the controversy here. We're just saying that in the upfront criticism of anyone, that sometimes we need to just listen, kind of like what Finesse said, and just kind of take note. But one of the things that Mr. Belafonte did say in that same interview, he voiced his political opinion, right? So, because he's a little bit more worldly, so, you know, he was asked if he wanted to see Mitt Romney take over from President Obama as President of the United States, and he sarcastically replied, only if you like to see the end of civilization, absolutely not. And he said Mitt Romney's not his cup of tea. So you put those two things in context just to say we're not going to make so much of the entertainment aspect as like it was really that political. He was just asking them to step up to the plate. That's what I think anyway.
Exactly.
Okay, so I just want to remind everyone again, you're listening to Black on Black Crime, and just so if this is your first time listening, you see some folks in the chat and on the line, this is your first time listening, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider criticizing or analyzing anyone else. So, you know, we're here talking about Harry Belafonte versus Beyonce and Jay-Z, as far as that was concerned, and some comments that Harry Belafonte made. Now, if you want to chime in, just hit one on your, on the line, and we'll bring you in. Or you can call in area code 909-265-9189, or just put us a message in chat, and we'll discuss that as well. I know we have some other stuff coming up in a few. What is our next topic, just in case? What's our next topic, Finesse? I know we're going to talk about another
black on black crime and black women crime.
Wait, we're not going to go into it. It's just a teaser. I just want to know what it is.
It's about Basketball Wives and Love and Hip Hop Show.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wait, and before we go any farther, you know, I have, if you missed our last show, our Black on Black Crime was about Lolo Jones and her other track mates. And see, I'm really being disrespectful by not saying their names, but I don't care. So Lolo Jones and being hated on by the other two teammates for the Olympic track team that thought she unfairly got more attention she got more attention than they did. You know what? After we take a break and come back, I'm going to tell you a new twist on that story as well. So I'm going to follow up on our Lolo Jones story from last week, and we're going to come back with a new with our, what is it, the Basketball Wives, Love and Hip-Hop
Wives
stuff?
And the Love and Hip-Hop stuff.
Oh, no. I'm almost scared to actually roll into that one. You can tell, right?
Yeah, and it's sad. It's sad because I watch it, but I still got to talk about it.
Well, you know, see, and they say nothing's on TV. See, Finesse, you gotta ease up on them. So we'll take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we just want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Ask Kathleen. You can check us out at Esprit Radio. We're going to be on MySo Radio. You can catch us all over the place. And if you have any comments, send them to Black on Black Crime. That's BLBC@soulofsyracuse.com. We'll start taking some letters over there if you want to hear us talk about a topic. If you have any comments or questions, or if you want to just be nasty and have us delete you, you can send the comments over there, too. We'll gladly delete you over there. So just remember, solarsyracuse.com. You're talking to Ask. I know. Don't laugh at me, Finesse. Check out columnist Finesse over on solarsyracuse.com as well. And sometimes I do write columns over there. So, you know, just wanted to remind you of that. Now, we're going to take another quick break. I shouldn't say another quick break. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. I am going to clean up our show from last week with our Lolo Jones. She had a couple more comments that she wanted to say. So we're going to give Lolo a chance to respond to our last show. It wasn't to us. It was to the people who was hating on her. So we're going to do a break. I'm sure you're looking forward to that, right, Finesse?
Yeah, because I want to know what my wife said.
I know. She didn't tell you?
She didn't tell me.
Oh, okay, well, she should have told you. I can't believe that. So we're going to take a break. What'd you say?
I said she should have told me. I'll talk to Lola tonight.
I agree with you. She should have told you. So we'll be back. Remember, you can call in area code 909-265-9189. We'll be back after another quick break, all right? So stay with us, and thanks for joining in, and thanks for hanging out with us. All right, we'll be back in a few.
Minutes of physical activity a day and eating well can help get your child healthy. So keep them active and eating well every day.
Skip a rope Saturday, bring tag Friday, tap dance Thursday. Well and move a lot.
Get ideas. Get involved. Get going at letsmove.gov. That's letsmove.gov. A message from USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Okay. Okay, welcome back to Black on Black Crime. You're with your host Jerome and Finesse. You know, we want to. I wanted to close out the story with Lolo Jones from our show last week because she did have a response to all of the publicity that was going on. So she, Lolo Jones, and gymnast Gabrielle or Gabby Douglas, and wrestler Jake Vollmer. Those two were gold medalists, Gabby and the wrestler, and they came home to a celebration at Drake University this week, and they came back to a crowd of 5,000 supporters, and I didn't know they did this in Iowa, but anybody who went to the Olympics from Iowa gets this celebration. So all of the athletes who came from there, you know, Lolo is from there, and Gabby moved there to train. So they came back to a crowd of about 5,000 supporters. And Lolo Jones had some comments during her time on stage in her interviews, and she said, "I have to say this support is definitely the light in a dark time," is what she told him. She hadn't spoken about the pair of track teammates who acknowledged that they were frustrated about her receiving more media coverage since the games. And she said she had no interest whatsoever in playing a role of peacemaker. She said, "I felt the resentment before, and I've actually reached out to them before, and honestly, I thought the bridge was already mended," is what Jones said. She said, "To see them break it and then blow it up, I honestly think I've done my part." So Lolo Jones came on the record and said, "She's done. All right, Finesse, you can let go on Lolo Jones."
Well, you know what?
I think that was a perfect response to me.
You know what? I think that was great. She's moved on. Obviously, she tried to mend the bridge, even though she didn't have to, because
she didn't cause it.
She didn't cause it. It was caused by media, and it was caused by, you know, I hate to say it, black media. They caused it. So,
It was,
she ended it.
That's why we did it on the last show. It was Black on Black Crime for Lolo Jones.
Yep. So she ended it, and it is what it is.
Right. And also, and at the same time, Jones praised Gabrielle Douglas, Gabby Douglas. She praised her for the way she conducted herself in the spotlight, even though, you know.
And that was
Douglas
another Black on Black Crime.
It was. We just didn't talk about it, but it was.
You got black
you
men
know.
In the media complaining about this child here.
Right. But here's what Lolo Jones said about Gabrielle Douglas. She said, "I already picked up stuff with how she was dealing with it, like how to handle my own controversies." And she said, "We both have taken kind of backlash for weird, odd reasons, you know, both our looks, and I thought that was kind of crazy," is what Jones said, when she talks about herself and Gabrielle Douglas. And they both have, had, I don't know, vanity things that they were criticized for.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I just want to touch on this before we move on. It wasn't too long ago when Don Imus came on here and he called the girls from New Jersey nappy head, you know what.
Mm-hmm.
Black women is all up in arms. "How dare you, blah, 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 blah. You know, natural hair is our right, da, 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 da." You know, taking these women aside. How many years afterwards are you mad because this young lady decides she don't want to wear weave? She's in competition. She's just being natural. And black women in media, I was shocked at the number of black women in media, blogs, whatever, was dogging Gabby about her hair. That is sad. I think a lot of women need to go see the Chris Rock movie about hair and understand you wasting all that money. You've been tricked into that and spending all that money on that. And that's your right if you choose to. But you're being made a fool of by these folks for buying hair when you have good hair yourself. Just got to know how to take care of your hair. That's all I'm saying. You better go to carolsdaughters.com. And get on the horn with them and talk about how you can make your hair naturally work right. And yes, I just committed a black on black. I sure did.
And I was about to say, you want to send your comments to Finesse, you know what? Send them to Black or Black Rhyme, BOBC at SoulSeekers.com. We will delete them over there. But Finesse is committing a black on black crime, so I'm not going to excuse him for doing that, but bringing up Carol's daughter. You lucky Kathleen's not on right now. We'd both be getting yelled at. Just wanted to share
hey,
that.
I'm saying hey, Carol's daughter, they could go get some products and get their hair, their natural hair to look lovely.
Oh,
nothing,
no.
You know what? It's nothing more beautiful. And I've seen some good hairdos, weaves or whatever, for when if they do them right. But it's nothing more beautiful to see a beautiful black woman wear her own natural hair, be it short, be it natural and airful, be it bald, whatever. But when you take something and try to be something that you're not, there's purple hair, there's red hair, there's blonde hair, you're trying to be something that you're not.
Finesse is getting us in trouble. You know what, Finesse?
I'm just saying.
I know we got
a bunch of people that's listening. I know it's a bunch of females. I'm just keeping it real.
Just because we're men on the show today, I'm not going to even go there. So we're not committing
saying,
any crimes. I'm
go
trying
watch
to
the,
hold Finesse back
the
from the felony.
Movie. Stop spending $150 on hair that you're only going to have in your head for 2 weeks.
All right. You know what? And on that note, we got to, you know, Coach Dean is on. So since we're talking about athletics, and we're going to go back to Lolo Jones instead of Finesse's thing. Now, we will bring it back when Kathleen or Kai or somebody jumps in here and come in and hurt us. But on this note, since we haven't heard Coach Dean on the radio in a while, he's coming in to applause. So let's bring in Coach Dean. Coach Dean, are you with us?
Yeah, man, I'm with you. Was that a way? Did you just commit a black on black crime by saying I ain't been on the air in a minute?
I committed several black on black crimes. I committed felony. Ain't nothing new.
one of the things I want to go back to something that you mentioned earlier when you were speaking about, you know, Mr. Harry Belafonte and Jay-Z and Beyonce. One of the things that people don't realize is this. You have a situation in which there is a stream of consciousness for those folks who have fought for activism and fought for civil rights that they feel. And it's okay because some of you, you know, you are allowed to. That whole allow allowance, you are allowed to speak your mind and speak freely. But there needs to be an understanding within their stream of consciousness. And the understanding needs to take place is there's a different era, there's a different place, and there is a different time. I wholeheartedly support everything in terms of what you were saying. If you're going to speak about your liquor, your clothing line, or whatever, bring forth a cause, which will in turn add and shed light to a subject area. But let us keep in mind, we talked about this from a sports perspective, but it's also in an entertainment perspective. You have a lot of people, they don't call their own shots. The record companies, the record labels, the record execs dictate on how you should behave and how you should act. And what we see from a fan standpoint is the direct result of those folks doing what those execs are saying is going to make them more money. As we say, you become a slave to the game as opposed to not putting yourself out there and controlling the game even if they have the rules. The other thing I want to bring up is this. You talk about Lolo Jones and everything and so on and so forth. It is a sad day when even in the world and realm of sports that black-on-black crime has to exist to that extent because there is black-on-black crime just basically through sheer competition. But as we used to always say, I hate you when we playing against each other on the basketball court, but after the game is all said and done, we go have a beer, or better yet, I go over to your mom's house and we eat lunch, or you come to my mom's house and we eat dinner. You have a situation in which the cause, we don't know what really is going on. Like I said, it's nice that Lolo shedded light on the fact that there was tension and that there was a rift. However, let me offer this in support of those people who did, those runners who did an accomplishment. Yes, they should have taken a different approach and not went off the way that they did about Lolo. But what should have happened is this, and we talked about this through several Facebook comments. What should have happened was this. Lolo didn't make it, so be it. Since when have we ever, as a society, not as a culture, but as a society, since when have we ever paid attention to the person who finished fourth? More so than we paid attention to the person that finished one through three. So in an essence, you have the media which has generated this black-on-black crime. Now, what should have happened was no comment. But as you all know, being media specialists yourself, anytime you say no comment, oh, there must be a little bit of rift, and we need to dig deeper.
Okay, so this is where Finesse is going to yell at you. I'm going to tell you.
No. I'm going to yell him because he's saying the same thing I said, but he's saying he's saying it in a bitch and grinds way. I get it out of him high school way. That's the only difference.
He didn't take a shot at your school, did he?
That's all right. I've been taking shots at grind forever.
we basically said the same thing. And before you go any further, Mr. Esfri, you need to read the comment by, I think it's Pianchi. In the chat room.
Go ahead. You can read it. Go ahead.
I'm going to read it. And it says here, South Korea is scheduled to rank in the top five economies in the world. Black women have played a tremendous part in contributing to that featuring black American economic prowess and is sad at less. Black hair and beauty products reap South Korea and other Asian billions. A major black on black crime occurs when foreigners set up shop within black American markets and black assist them in extracting community wealth out of leaving young blacks with nothing to build off of. What a crime. And that's my point. That's all I'm saying.
You know what?
That's all I'm saying.
Thanks for your comment out of the chat as well. Go ahead.
That's all I'm saying is we always talking about what others do to us and we do it to ourselves. We do it to ourselves. And to the point now is, and I'm not calling out and I'm not being prejudiced, but Asian culture, those folks in business will not even do business with black hair salons and barbers to let them know where they're getting this hair from so they can make the money. They have cornered the market.
Let me ask you this. From a business perspective, from a monopoly perspective, and I hear you. I agree with you 100%. You know, in the essence of the law of attraction, you want to share the wealth. In order for you to become wealthy, you must help someone else become wealthy. But let's keep it down to brass tacks and basic business principles. Why would I want to, being of Asian descent, why would I want to help you? Still, I make money wholesale. But why would I want to help you become a millionaire when I've got the market pretty much cornered?
I'm talking about the wholesalers will not sell to anybody black. So even if you black and have the money to go buy it, they're not dealing with you. They're only dealing with Asian culture. They're not dealing with anybody.
Right. And that power, that's how they keep themselves in the economic realm of support. That's how they support each other. Like, for example, there's absolutely no reason why we should not be supporting a lot of these black businesses, male or female, that sell, manufacture, and make these oils. You can make your own colognes, your own perfumes, your own lotions, your own soaps out of oils. So we choose not to do that. We would rather go find it somewhere else so we could buy it cheaper to then try to undercut them as opposed to let's keep that dollar flowing and supporting each other's businesses.
And you know what? I agree with everything you say. And this is my point. My point is this, and I'm not knocking. And I'm not knocking anything that anyone does. But you have to understand, you are the cause and you are the solution.
Absolutely.
Period. You are the cause
Absolutely.
And you are the solution. You can't complain about prices being high with Nike and go out and buy a pair of Nike shoes. And then you complain you broke, and then you're going to turn around and say it's President Obama's fault. You are the cause and you are the solution. You have to do the homework to understand and then go from there.
Yeah, like nobody's going to go out and buy Shaquille O'Neal's new sneakers, which, by the way, the only reason why I know how they look now because you got a 9-year-old kid. I got a 9-year-old kid that you got to do shopping for sneakers for. I thank God each and every day that I have the child that I have. This kid is happy to have a pair of new sneakers. He doesn't care if they're Nike or Converse or Shaqs or Skechers. He's just happy to have new sneakers. Whereas you both know, and our listeners know, for some of us, unless it's Nike, it ain't all right.
Yep. And what they don't understand is, and this is a part of an education process, Shaq has one of the most successful sneaker lines out there, one of the most successful apparel companies out there. Nike doesn't want you to talk about that. You know why? Because they got to get their brand. And people,
right,
and,
right.
And the shoes are made, the shoes are made by the same people. The same people. What Shaq has done, regardless of what you think about Stephon Marbury, regardless of what you think about Al Harrington, and Al Harrington, their sneakers is hot. But we don't support because we let somebody else dictate to us. Nike has bought NBA and says, here, we want only Nike sneakers to be shown on TV. Nike has bought out the Olympics. Here, we only want Nike. We don't want nobody else. They've given the money. It's about money. And then they go, and they go get our stars, and they say, hey, we're going to give you $20 million. And I ain't mad at them going to get that money. But they don't understand.
Well,
this cat is making billions off you. Billions
okay,
off you.
So,
and then are they hiring in your community? So that's the thing that we got to be, and that's a black-on-black crime that we commit ourselves. Because, again, you are the cause, and you are the solution.
Well, here's the thing, and I want to go back to, since we're talking about apparel as well, is the sports marketing part, and that leads me back to the Lolo Jones issue. Like, I know, you know, Coach Dean Turrell came out and did say, all right, she came in fourth, why are we talking about her? But I beg to differ. I say she did win her heats to come in fourth. It's not like she came in last at the Olympics. And so, instead, like she said, instead of cheering as a team, like, we get to criticize her for being, like, a half a second slower than the guy, than the person that came in third. But more importantly, it is the people who are marketing, right? She has a certain look that the companies are going for, and they weren't checking on those other women. And so
right.
Since she got those endorsements, do we hate her? Because she definitely deserved to be in the Olympics as she came in fourth, right? Because it's the old Franklin and Jai joke that says, if I'm bobsledding and I come in last, I could have not practiced and came in last, but she did.
Exactly.
She said, I work 6 days a week, you know, X amount of hours a day. She deserved to be there. And so
I think any Olympic
athlete had to win to be in the Olympics.
Right. And I'm not knocking the fact that she didn't put in the hard work, the effort, and all that is needed for you to even make the Olympic team. What I'm saying is this. Quickly, you guys have 5 seconds to tell me the answer to this question. Who lost in the NCAA basketball championship last year? 1001, 1002, 1003, 2004, 2005. Point taken. Now, who lost? Who came in second the year before in the NCAA men's finals? 1001, 1002, 2003, 2004. Come on, guys. 2004. Okay, that's the point that I'm trying to make. That's what I'm trying to make.
Well,
you're right. Lolo Jones deserves everything that she has gotten in terms of all of that
right.
that she has earned. But why are we spending time speaking about someone that came in fourth? Remember,
somebody came in third? That's my point. The point is not to focus on her. Well, listen, though. The point is not to focus on her because she's black. I think that if somebody else, if they were white and they got those endorsement deals and lost, we don't jump on them and we don't slap high fives because the person who lost had endorsement deals. So the point of being black-on-black crime is the fact that they're singling her out because she got sponsorship and advertisement deal and she came in fourth. But she got those deals before she came in fourth. So
right.
She deserves to get whatever she did in business.
But here's the point that we don't know exactly where they're coming from. The way how I looked at it and took at it is this. I looked at it and took at it as being, why are we spending so much time talking about somebody that came in fourth when we should be celebrated for winning? We should be celebrated for coming from 1 and 2.
I'm going to tell you why. The media made this story up, and it all goes back to Tim Tebow. They found out that you can market Christianity and make money. See, and I'm using black athletes. See, the black athletes walk around with the cross, which is supposed to be a symbol of religion, but they go do all kind of everything. They get gun charges, they get prostitutes, they're in the strip club. So that, they can't make money off that because that's showing the negative. But the minute they got on Tim Tebow and they saw how much money and how much attention, remember, you have young executive producers, all the thing they know is numbers and trends. So they say, okay, ESPN's whole philosophy now is we're going to do stories that trend. So if we're going to talk about 10 people every 5 minutes, then it is what it is because it's all about the advertising dollar. So then is that a flash in the pan? Can it happen again? You turn to the NBA, you had Jeremy Lin. He's a Christian. They saw what the jerseys were selling. They said, wow.
Yeah, but I did not know Jeremy Lin was Christian. As a matter of fact, Jeremy Lin is a Buddhist. He's a practicing Buddhist.
It doesn't matter because of his religion and the stuff that he said. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that because of religion. They jumped on it. They jumped on it, and Jeremy Lin only played 7 games. He wasn't – how many games did he play? He didn't play that many games.
He played 17 or 18 games, but let's face it. I'm going to tell you what Doc Rivers said about Jeremy Lin. I'm going to tell you what other people said about Jeremy Lin. Don't sleep. That kid can play ball. Remember who his head coach was.
We all agree with that. We all know, but we're talking about why, and this is why they jumped on Lolo. Because Lolo had been out there. Only story what Lolo was, how she was going to win the race and she fell. But the minute she said she was a virgin, and because of her Christianity, that crap shot up there. And that's why we're talking about Lolo Jones.
Well, I mean, listen, that much I don't know, and I don't want to throw religion in there, but I think it had a heck of a lot more to do with the age-old saying, let's keep it real, let's keep it where how it's supposed to be. First of all, she's biracial, and I got to tell you, in watching the Olympics, I've heard several comments talk about the number of biracial folks for other countries that are actually at the forefront of their sport. So I think the fact that she was biracial was a big hit.
That's a trending fact because your president is biracial.
In the words of one J.A. Esprit, pretty people, men or women, are always in marketing, are always in sales because they are nice to look at and they get people's attention. So that's number two. She is an attractive woman. And that added to
the whole Christianity because she was fine and a Christian. Tim Tebow, fine and a Christian. Jeremy Lin, fine and a Christian. That leaves the money. You ain't going to have no ugly Christian up there.
Using the word fine and Christian in the same breath is really scary, man.
That's what they said on.
You know what? And since you guys brought in Christian, I don't want to bring up my theory on strip clubs since y'all just used Christian, so I won't bring that up. But there's a reason why they exist as well. So I just don't want to go there.
Exactly.
Now, since we only have 10 minutes left of the show, I just want to remind everyone, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. Our calling number is 909.
Y'all talking about my wife, too.
Oh, you know what? Okay, our calling number 909-265-9189. We're talking about Finesse's wife, but as Coach Dean lights into her, so to speak. But
oh no, I like her.
Oh wait, yeah, I got a text.
She was my wife before it was his.
I got a text. Finesse, you just committed
a black on black crime.
I got a text that says, Finesse, you just committed a black on black crime because as dark as you are, you like in a light skinned female.
We're not doing no light versus dark skin show. We ain't gonna do that. That's not today.
That's future reference.
Although we may have to do this, because Finesse, you have to quickly run us into our next segment of the housewives stuff. I don't know if you watched that, Coach Dean, but Terrell,
we're
gonna have to listen to Finesse on this one and him cuss out. Let it go, Finesse.
Look. First, let me say this. It's going to be hypocritical in some people's eyes. I watch it, one, because I'm in media, so I have to know what's going on. But two, I just find it amusing, and I just want to see how low they go. But at the same time, if you're going to do these shows, what we talked about earlier with social responsibility, you can be balanced and show something that these women do that is good. I can't believe you followed the camera all day, all 24 hours with these females, you don't show them how to interact with their kids, how to interact with people. I know a couple of those women had charities before they went on the show. You can't tell me that doesn't exist. But for women, especially black women, to be executive producers of shows and how hard it is for black women actresses to get jobs, you are making it sad that you have this image. And now it's harder for black women in Hollywood to really get jobs because what they have done is they're basically saying, well, can you be like me? Or can you be like Evelyn? Because that's what we're looking for. So now these women are even typecast even more, and it can't, and I'm going back to Harry Belafonte because he said something early this year, it cannot always be about the money. The money's going to come. You can't keep at some point, and I'm just asking for balance. If you, you know, balance out the show.
Right.
Because
well,
even the Kardashian show is balanced out, and we all know what a hoochie she is.
Well, here's the deal. When I respect the fact that, yeah, it shouldn't just be about the money. But let's take a look, and I may watch these shows when they first come on, but I gotta tell you, if people think that all of this stuff is real, it's not real. The personalities are real, but they cut, paste, clip, and put together what they want to put together to make it seem like drama.
To make it a drama.
Right, but let's understand this, guys. If I am not mistaken, NeNe Leakes and her husband were having financial issues. A lot of those women were having financial issues. Kenny Anderson's wife. They all were having financial issues, whether it be getting child support, whether it be legal issues with getting their divorces, et cetera, et cetera. So, unfortunately, this is where Harry Belafonte's statement is incorrect, because for them, it is all about the money because they don't have it. Now, granted, they're not getting paid a whole lot of money.
Oh, yes, they are.
That's
where you're wrong. They just showed how much these women are making. NeNe Leakes gets $1 million an episode. Oh,
okay,
yes, they
listen,
do. They
she
make
may,
money.
Listen, finesse. I hear you. You're right. She may be getting that now, but she wasn't getting that in the beginning when the shows first came on. These, like, for example, those folks from Jersey Shore, in the very beginning when that show came on, they were getting $5,000 an episode.
The Atlanta Housewives were making six figures. And I'm not referring that comment to them. I'm talking about the black on black crime, the women as executive producers.
No, but six figures? That is tough for me to believe because if I'm not mistaken, I was reading an article in which Kenny Anderson's ex-wife was saying when she was on the show, she was only making $25,000 an episode, and the only reason why she re-upped was because they were going to give her $50,000 an episode.
Let me tell you something. They get appearances and all that's in there. That's what
you get
when you
Kim Kardashian, you get $50,000 for showing up to a club. Yeah, you get all of that stuff.
And then when they put the whole totality of how much money they make, it's a lot of money. But I'm not putting it on them. Because they have to do a date. If they sign up for it. But as far as who is in charge, is Shawnee and the other system. I'm not saying whatever you do to cause ratings, that's fine. But balance it out. That's what I'm talking about. Balance it out.
On the Real Housewives of Atlanta, though, their ratings were higher than all of the other Real Housewives series. And NeNe did make, like, at her flat salary, she did get over $1 million in her new contract.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
Right.
The other girls normally
contract.
Don't get money.
Right.
Well,
Atlanta,
in her last
and,
one,
and,
for last
and
year.
All the women from the Atlanta Housewives, they're all making six figures. All of them.
Yeah, NeNe did get over $1 million, though. So, and
she's
on that
the
new show. Yeah.
And that's why she ended up leaving, because they didn't want to pay her that loop. And she figured, you know what, I don't need that. Let me just go off and do my own thing. And she is doing quite well for herself. Even
NeNe?
Though every time you see her, she's being typecast.
Who, NeNe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think she's leaving.
She's coming back? She ain't leaving?
No, I don't think that they didn't want to give her that money, Terrell. I think what happened was when you get ratings like they had out of all of their series, I mean, I'm talking about the Orange County, Real Housewives of Orange County, OC, and New York, and all of them, and New Jersey. Atlanta had the highest ratings, and NeNe pretty much was the star of that piece, and so she got all the money.
She had her agent negotiate, and every time she's on step, they give her more money. She's making
but listen, there's something to be said about that. That is the only show of the Housewives series that truly features pretty much, let's say, a predominantly black cast, African-American class.
Cat.
And
well,
yet they have the highest rating, but also next to the Housewives of New Jersey, they got the most violence and the most drama.
Well, and okay, let's look at New Jersey.
People like
New Jersey is Italian. It's Italian women. That's another stereotype that people, white folks, are saying that, oh, well, this is how Italians act. This is how black people act. And then if you go, you want to say the OC, the Housewives of Orange County, well, this is what dumb white girls who don't get education, this is how they act. So we feed them into the stereotypes. And all
Absolutely.
Those shows, all those shows need to show a balance. But especially if you are the black executive producer of a show and you are a black female on top of that, you need to show balance. Because you ask any, and I've interviewed a couple of sisters that got independent films, and they say the same thing. The scripts that's being offered them, and they say, well, we're basing off of this is how they act on the Housewives of Atlanta. So it's not, so that's what I'm saying to you, is you have a responsibility to balance it out. So you mean to tell me you can't fit an episode in to show how they are with their kids and family?
No,
right.
That's not what they want to see.
You have charity.
It's not what they want to see, and that's the unfortunate piece about that.
Well, and then part two of that is those people that go on the show, and like you said, they get people that's desperate because they're not going to get, and those that are strong-minded that don't want to be seen in that light, after 2 or 3 years, they say, you know what, I've had enough, and that's happened on Atlantic Housewives. Because a couple of those girls are strong characters, their family's a strong unit, you know, they have issues, but they're not going to fall into this being seen one way. And the editing process, they can edit stuff in and out to make it look bad. And I love in hip-hop, that thing, when you mix that kind of element with hip-hop, and it's already volatile anyway, and then you get these girls that's from the street and already got reputations, that's just danger and all over.
Well, and of course you are asking for trouble when you bring a camera in front of dysfunction. Like, you are asking for trouble. But unlike Atlantic Hip Hop, where Shawnee asks if she's above it, now I don't believe that one bit. But her thing was that it wasn't just her pushing that; it was kind of the editing and other producers. And she said that she wanted to be more classy, but. If I can recall, when I watched it, when she was in the middle of a mess between Tammy and anybody else, she didn't stop them. She didn't stop Evelyn. She didn't stop Jen.
She just sat there and watched it
and shook her head and instigated.
Right.
And now she want to act like she hates her fan mail for people calling her out on it. Now,
well, that
is
that
a problem.
Here's something I want to bring up that I found out because the first Love and Hip Hop that came on was the one that was about New York City, right? And I was watching that, and the woman who is, I guess, the executive producer on that, I cannot remember the girl's name. I think it was Jim Jones's girlfriend or fiancée, or it was. She went off on the woman who's executive producer as well as another person. And basically, Jim Jones's girl didn't want to speak to this woman at all because of what happened. But it came up that they blamed her because of how the editing and how everything took place. That a lot of the beef went on. Now, I don't know if those women reconciled with each other, but they knew that this woman who was in charge, they realized towards the ending of the show that, hey, this woman is a big piece while all this drama is going on. And it was funny because they even messed around and called her a B-I-T-C-H, and she wanted to get so-called tough and say, I know you're not speaking to me that way, and as you said, Rome, you can't bring a camera in front of dysfunction, let alone try to be tough with someone who's been dysfunctional all their life. And they told her, oh, you want to get tough now? Turn off the camera, and I'll show you what tough is. So you
and
have
you know
a
what?
Situation.
And you know what? Chrissy signed up for another year.
But why did she sign up?
That's a great question. If you know the editing is done bad, then look away. But it's not done bad when you see Jim Jones choke a dude on TV.
Well, he didn't choke him. Remember, he said, turn the camera off.
Yeah, which I wanted to see how far he would go. You know, right? And when you see Chrissy throwing bottles, that's not made up. You know what I'm saying? So at some point, those people that sign up, you're responsible, but you know what you're getting.
Absolutely.
They all complain about the editing, but this has been going on since this whole reality thing started. So don't act like it's brand new. You know what you're getting into.
Exactly.
All right. All right, well, Coach Dean, thanks for joining in. We're going to make some noise a little bit later. For now,
always a pleasure.
Always. All right. And just want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime as we kind of tore it up. Send your comments and your questions to bobc@solarsyracuse.com. We're going to be back again next week. I don't know what our Black on Black Crime will be next week, but I'm sure it's going to be just as heated. So with that being said, for Coach Dean and Finesse, y'all can holler people out. Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thank you very much.
All right. And we didn't hear from Finesse.
Hey,
did he leave us already?
Have a good one. Thank you for joining the show. We'll see you next week.
All right. And just remember that all content of this program is protected and may not be reproduced, distributed, or transmitted without otherwise or otherwise published without prior written permission. All rights are reserved, and we will check you out again next week. All right. See you next week, 2 o'clock, same time, same place.